श्रील प्रभुपाद की श्री भक्ति वैभव की ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भगवतम की गिरिराज महाराज की जय निताय गो प्रेमानंद हरि ओम So there'll be no class next week because on Monday, from Friday to Monday, we'll have Burujan Prabhu and Mother Jagatarini's retreat at the farm. And the retreat finishes on Monday, so it means there'll be no class Monday night, obviously. And I don't think we'll have class on Tuesday night because I'm already feeling very tired and the retreat hasn't even passed yet. So I think by the time the retreat's passed, I'll be finished. Like that, so I don't think I'll teach on Tuesday, not be too much. It'll take me probably Tuesday, I'll just sleep. It's already too hectic. So please forgive me for that. Then we'll have class the week after. Also, with your fees, please try to keep up with your fees as well, just so the course can run regularly. Okay, so what did we discuss last week?
We have to know Krishna is a person. And whatever he does, he is tired.
Good. Any other points?
Narad Muni met, he advised Edward Maharaj to go to Mathura. And then he said for him to take part in Jamuna 3 times a day and then offer whatever fruits and things are available there to the Lord, and then make a poem of the Lord and
make the form of the Lord. That's tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, he hasn't mentioned that yet. That's good.
And I was reading, Madhuvani is a place where Lord is there always.
That's tonight.
Yeah?
Good that you're reading. That's good.
Okay.
You're ahead of time.
We discussed that the perfect presence in Bhakti one must practice in the holy time.
Important. Any other points?
Spending 3 days in Vrindavan is equal to 1 year in any other holy time.
Yeah. That is the potency. Do Mataji's want chairs? Sure. Chairs are there, so if you want them. So, now this chapter is called Dhruva Maharaj leaves home. So, in the first verse it is described that Lord Brahma had various sons, but those sons were brahmacharis. So they did not populate the universe, therefore there was no description of their lineage like that. But they are mentioned because they are, many of them are pure devotees of the Lord. And then there is a description of Brahma creating negative qualities within the universe. So different negative qualities are created. So that description is given. And then there is the description of Uttanapad and Priyavrata, who were the two sons of Swayambhu Manu. And immediately Maitreya Muni goes to the son of Uttanapad, whose name was Dhruva Maharaj. Because Dhruva was a pure devotee. And pure devotees, they only want to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam or pure devotional service. They're not interested in discussing even mixed devotional service. They don't have any interest in anything other than pure devotional service. So, because they were, Maitreya was enthusiastic to talk about pure devotional service, he immediately went to the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj and began to discuss. So it is described that Dhruva Maharaj's stepmother, whose name was Suruchi, then she insulted Dhruva Maharaj when he tried to sit on the lap of Uttanapad. And she said that you are not qualified to sit on the lap of Uttanapad. If you want to sit on his lap, then you should take birth from Mahavud. Now, this shows us that these things have been there since time immemorial. just like my brother was telling me yesterday at the farm, that he has, in his business, he's moved into an office with three other people, three architects. He's a landscape designer. And he said that he's only been there for 1 month or so, but he said there's already politics in the office. And it's already uncomfortable. Just, yeah, close the door properly. He said it's already uncomfortable, like that. And he said, interestingly, he was commenting, so I said, this is there since the beginning of the universe. You go back to the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the universe was only just created. And the first living entities entered into the universe, and already there were these problems. The universe has only just been created. There's hardly anyone around yet. There's only Uttanapad Priyavrata. It's only like the first couple of generations. And already there's all these problems. We already had the Daksha Yagya. You know, Daksha's already had problems, right? Now Suruchi is having problems. But that's the nature of the material world. You cannot escape it. Right? If you want to escape it, go back to Godhead. Because in the spiritual world, it's not there. So, Suruchi, she incites the anger of Dhruva Maharaj. He becomes greatly insulted. This is the nature of a Kshatriya. He will not tolerate insult. So immediately he goes to his mother, Suniti, and he the servants in the palace report to her what the situation is. Now, Suruchi says to Dhruva Maharaj, you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, if you want to fulfill your desires, and say if you want to be a king. And then it is confirmed by Suniti, who is Dhruva Maharaj's mother. She says the same thing. Actually, this is correct. If you want to fulfill your desires, if you want to become a great king, then you should worship
Narayan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam: Akama Sava Kama Va. Whatever desires you have, you should approach Krishna to fulfill those desires, and Krishna will fulfill those desires. No, but he may not fulfill them exactly as you originally would have imagined, but he will fulfill them. No. The Bhagavatam says always go to Krishna, regardless. Not that we try to have material desires, but even if they're there, still you should go to Krishna. So then, Dhruva Maharaj, he follows the instructions of his mother and heads towards the forest. Now at that time, by the arrangement of Krishna, by the arrangement of Providence, then his spiritual master approaches him, Sri Narad Muni. Now Narada is understanding that Dhruva will soon receive the mercy of the Lord, so he tests his disciple. That is the first situation which arises when you approach your guru, is that he will test you to see if you are sincere in devotional service. So the spiritual master, he tests the disciple, and he tested Dhruva. He said, actually, you are not qualified to go and do all this Ashtanga Yoga. You have no qualification to carry out this type of practice. But Dhruva Maharaj was so determined. And then Narad Muni, he says that to Dhruva, that factually speaking, you should be equipoised. We should not be affected by the dualities in this material world. All of us become affected by the dualities in this world, but we should not be allow ourselves to become affected. But rather, we should remain equipoised. But Dhruva says, I cannot do this. And Prabhupada points out in the purports tonight, Prabhupada says that this is the qualification of a brahmana. A brahmana can tolerate these material things, but the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, the sudras, they cannot tolerate so easily. So Dhruva, he cannot tolerate because he is Kshatriya by nature. So he says to Narada that I cannot tolerate. So Narada says, okay, then we will instruct you to become purified. Still, you approach the Lord, but go to the Lord to fulfill your material desire. Like that. So the Guru will give us instructions according to our qualification. If we are materially attached, the Guru may instruct us in such a way that we'll become purified of that attachment. And if someone is more advanced, then he may cut that attachment. It's according to the guru's desire and according to his understanding of the qualification of the disciple. So, he instructs Dhruva that you, in order to become purified, you should go to Madhuvan, which we discussed last week on Tuesday, that you should go to a holy dham. Because in the holy dham, whatever service you render, it would be magnified many, many, many thousands of times. So therefore, in order to fulfill your desire, in the best way, you should go to the holy dham. Narada understands that although Dhruva has a material motivation, that by practicing devotional service in the holy dham, he will soon become purified of that material contamination. Because that is the nature of the holy dham. Any service which is rendered there, Krishna will purify you of your material attachments. It is such a powerful process. So he instructs him to go. So tonight we will continue to hear about the instructions of Narada to Dhruva, now from verses 53 to 62. And we'll hear that he gives further instructions. Besides going to the holy dham, he also gives several other instructions. Any questions or comments so far?
In the text number 31, Narada Muni is telling that after trying this process for many, many births and remaining unattached to material contentment, this individual continually in trance and receiving many types of austerities, many mystic yogis are unable to find the end of the path to Godhead. They are saying that basically the yogis who keep their bodies indifferent to the material happiness and distress, they are finding even hard within the path to God realization. And in the verse number 33, he is telling that one who is indifferent, he says, one should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life. With the distress of happiness which is offered by the Supreme Lord, a person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of desire very easily. I find basically conflict between these two verses. And like one verse is telling that the two people's yogis who are really detached are not able to basically realize the path of God. And another verse is saying that the very state of the mind of the two points, one is able to be crossed over the misery of material existence.
What verse is that?
Verse number 31 and verse number 33.
Yeah, so it's not really a contradiction, it just Narada is making two separate points. So he's pointing out the situation that it is a difficult path, but for those who can who become adept in that path, then they can become successful. But this type of yoga practice is difficult. It's not an easy practice to undertake. Krishna mentions that in the 12th chapter of the Gita. It's not an easy process to follow. Okay. But those who can become qualified in it, then they can attain perfection. Does that clarify?
To some extent,
yes. Yeah, to some extent. I don't know if I fully understand the point that you made, but that's fine.
The verse of verses is talking about the person who is detached. And in one verse is saying that a detached person is finding, a detached person is finding it very difficult. In another verse is saying, no, the detached one, one who is detached from both the miseries and the happiness, he should be able to do the process. So I found that.
Yes, I think what I said is like that, that those who are trying to do it, it's not easy. Those who have become, you know, qualified, then it's not an easy path to follow. But if you do become actually qualified, then you can attain success. That's why Bhakti Yoga is so much more. Krishna says, Susukha, it is joyful and it is much easier to perform.
The verse 31 is talking more about the Ashtanga Yoga, whereas 33 is talking about some dukkha samyakratva lava lava chayaka. So the indifference of the 31st verse is more to do with when you are just practicing yoga and try to control your senses. You control your senses but you don't have any exit. You don't still you approach Lord. Then the second one is talk more about you control the senses in terms of some dukkha, you are indifferent to the happiness and distress, and then you have channelized your attention towards Lord. So they are not talking the same thing.
No, it's basically what I said the first time, I think that's sufficient. Like that. It's a minor point, so we'll just leave it at that. Because we have to cover a lot of ground tonight. So. Any other points?
Madhuvan
has same place where Krishna killed Madhuvan. Madhuvan? I don't think he killed Madhuvan in that. I think there's some, I'd have to look it up, but I think there's some. I think Shatrughna may have killed a demon there, from memory. Yeah, Lord Ram's brother.
Yeah.
From memory. He may have been. Very late, Jeff Bowen. I think from memory, there's some Shatrughna, Ram's brother, killed a demon. I don't think it was a Madhu demon.
But his father was
a
demon.
Was it?
His father.
So that's maybe one of the places where the Madhu Van came from. Madhuvan is called Madhuvan because Madhu means honey, and Krishna and Balaram used to go there to drink honey. And it may have other reasons too, but that's one reason why it's called Madhuvan. Okay. Anything else important?
In the Bhagavad Gita it says that seedosna subadukala, whether in like bad winds like winter and summer season, heat and cold, we have to be equal. Like the distress and happiness comes in living entities life of us. Like summer and winter season, so sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are distressed. But like but if you are connected to the Lord, it is not affecting you. It will not affect you.
Yeah.
It will not affect you at all. Sometimes if you are fully connected, not affect you, but if you're not fully connected,
you have understood the Bhagavad Gita.
No, whatever I'm doing.
Yeah, that's the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so we'll begin from verse 53. O son of the king, now I shall speak unto you the mantra which is to be chanted with this process of meditation. One who carefully chants this mantra for 7 nights can see the perfect beings flying in the sky. So sometimes we may get an instruction according to our qualification. Now, if we're materially attached, then sometimes we may preach to people. For example, we may say, Krishna consciousness will make you happy. Because someone in this material world is suffering. So someone is suffering, then you give some something positive to inspire them to take to the process. So you say, it will end your suffering. Or if someone's mind is very disturbed, you say, you may practice the process of devotional service, it will make your mind more peaceful. So according to the qualifications of the person, then you may instruct them in a particular way. So Narada is instructing Dhruva because he's materially motivated. He's not pure at this point. So because he is not pure, he is saying, then you follow the process and you will get this. You will see siddhas, you will see perfect beings within 7 days. That's not the goal. You know, the goal of our sadhana is not to see the siddhas flying around in the sky. They're very advanced, like mystics, like that. So that's not our goal. Our goal is to become Krishna conscious. But he is then preaching to Dhruva according to his qualification, because he's interested in something material at this point in time. Just like the devotees said to Prabhupada in 1968-69, they said, what is it like in Goloka Vrindavan? And Prabhupada said, there are no draft boards. Because everyone was being drafted to go to the Vietnam War. Many of the devotees were worried that they would be taken into the army and sent to Vietnam and possibly be killed. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada said, there are no draft boards. So that's not what Goloka Vrindavan is like. That's not a description of Goloka Vrindavan, but it's something they can understand. So then Narada Muni is saying to Dhruva, then you take up devotion, you take up this path, you worship Krishna, you chant this mantra, you go to Madhuvan, 7 days you will see the siddhas. That's how powerful it is. So it gets him interested. So sometimes we preach like this. Just like Prabhupada said in 1966, 1967, 68, in the very beginning of the movement, Prabhupada started the Sunday love feast. So Prabhupada cooked the feast himself back in those early days. So Prabhupada said one time, or several times, he said, people did not come for the lecture, they did not come for the kirtan, they came for the prasadam.
Sure.
In the beginning, that was the motivation. So that's not a very exalted level of consciousness, but Prabhupada would encourage them. You come, you take nice prasadam. Right? Come to. Sometimes we meet someone, right, and they say, oh, I love your food. You say, oh, come to our temple, you can eat the food for free, as much as you like. Have as many plates as you like. Eat halal. Eat to your full satisfaction. So it is not really what this is about. Right? It's one aspect of what it's about, but it's not really. It's not the totality, it's not the prayojana, it's not the goal. Right? The goal is love for Krishna. But then we encourage people accordingly. So Narada is encouraging Dhruva. He's saying, okay, come. Begin this mantra. Take to this process. And you will get, in 7 days you will get this. So then he becomes maybe interested. So it's a type of preaching that he's using. So Prabhupada explains at the bottom of the first paragraph that our mantra only has potency when it is received from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise the mantra has no potency. Not that it has no potency, but to get the full effect of the mantra, you must receive it from a bona fide guru. That is the process. A bona fide spiritual master, he gives you the mantra. Just like when we take Diksha, initiate, Diksha actually means, traditionally, it means what we call second initiation. When we receive Gayatri mantra, when we receive the Brahman Upavita, like the Brahman thread of that, then this is considered to be Diksha. This is second initiation. So at that time, you're given certain mantras by the guru. Prabhupada explains actually in this section, he chants into your right ear. Right? The Gayatri mantras. So in ISKCON we receive 7 mantras. First one worships the sun god. Second two worship the guru. Fourth and fifth worship Gauranga. And the final two worship Radha Krishna. Right? Now these are the mantras we receive. Now you can receive those mantras. 6 of the 7 of those mantras, maybe even 7 of them, are written in Prabhupada's books. They're in Prabhupada's books. I think 6 of them are, maybe even 7. They're all in Prabhupada's books, right? The actual mantras, like that. I can even say it like that. But generally we do not say it in public. It is etiquette, we do not speak these things publicly, like that. Although you can. Actually, my spiritual master, he said one time, well, Prabhupada's written it in the books. He just, like that. So we can say the mantra publicly, but generally these mantras we chant silently, so they're not to be spoken loudly, generally. But the point is that this mantra, you can receive the mantra, you can get it from Prabhupada's book, you can start to chant it, but you will not get the full effect unless it is received from a bona fide guru. It is made potent by receiving it from a bona fide spiritual master who is receiving it in disciplic succession. Then you are connected. You cannot be independent in spiritual life. The potency comes from hearing it from a pure devotee, because it means that your attitude of submission is correct. You've submitted yourself to a pure devotee. That's what initiation means. So without that submission, you can get the mantra, but without the submission and the correct attitude, right, then it does not fructify. It does not. You do not get the full effect. You get some effect, but you will not get the full effect of love of God. It must be received from a potent personality. So this is the situation. So Dhruva Maharaj is being initiated by Narada. Narada is his guru. Narada is giving him the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is a very potent mantra. This mantra is extremely powerful. But it must be received from a guru to have full effect. If you try to make spiritual advancement without taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you will not become fully purified. Hypothetically you can, because you have the mantra and all the rest of it. But actually, you will not have the proper attitude. So even though Prabhupada says it is possible, but actually, generally, pretty much in 99.99% of the cases, it's not possible. I know for myself, I could chant Hare Krishna all day long, but without being connected to my guru, I wouldn't get so much result. So one must be connected to the spiritual master, then one gets the result.
How to get connected to the spiritual master?
By being submissive.
Yeah. But if the spiritual master is not here, then he's far away, they keep thinking of him.
Yeah, it means you follow the instruction. Because Bapu is not always there, but Vani is always there. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasized Vani. Vani means instruction.
Vani.
Yeah. So one must receive the instruction. Right? Because if you do not receive the instruction, then that is the proper connection to the Guru. That's why Prabhupada emphasized it so much. Now, in the second
That
means whatever instructions, the instructions can be general or they can be specific. Meaning that I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of my Guru's lectures. So that's all Vani. But then he also gave me personal instructions. So that is also Vani. Right? So either way, general or personal. Now, Srila Prabhupada says in the second paragraph that one must concentrate on hearing the mantra. Prabhupada says, do not try to see the form artificially. Right? Do not try to jump ahead of yourself. First you must hear the Maha Mantra. Right? So we must concentrate on hearing. We must be attentive in our chanting. Prabhupada says, just by hearing the Maha Mantra attentively, you will see the form of Krishna. The form will manifest. We had this. We began this discussion last week and it continued this week. That one must, in the beginning, one must hear. Because if you do not learn to hear the Maha Mantra, the sound of the mantra, while chanting, it will not have full effect. It is inattentive chanting. And Haridas Thakur says that this is the cause, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the cause of all of the other offences. The 10 offences that are there while chanting, the root of all of them is inattention while chanting. Therefore, one must learn to be attentive. One must hear. Now, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami gives six characteristics of japa meditation. Now I've only written the English here because we're in a little bit of a rush tonight, so I'm sorry, I should have written the Sanskrit also. Maybe tomorrow I'll write the Sanskrit for you also. But these are the six characteristics of japa meditation. These must be there if you want to be successful in your japa, in your chanting of the holy name. Right? You must have these six qualities. Right? Now the first quality is control of the mind. You must learn to control your mind while chanting japa, which means you have to learn to be attentive. Right? Because so much of the time we become distracted while chanting. Right? Either we become distracted, meaning our mind is just going off into something else, or distracted, meaning we're trying to do other activities while simultaneously chanting the Maha Mantra. Right? Both of them are considered inattentive chanting. Sometimes you see devotees doing all sorts of other activities while chanting. Right? But actually, japa is meditation. No water in there. Just get some water. Just get it from there, in that Yes. Okay, go to the kitchen. So devotees do all sorts of other activities while chanting japa. Japa is meditation. If you look at other processes, if you look at other traditions, like for example Buddhism. Now you see, when a Buddhist person meditates, what is their mood? Right, it's a very fixed activity. It's a very definite activity. At that point in time, they're carrying out that particular activity. It's not something you do with other activities. You don't mix them. But you see, when devotees chant japa, which japa means meditation, that's our form of meditation. We're meditating on the holy sound of the holy name of the Lord. devotees do every other activity with that. You know, I've seen devotees, you know, doing their washing. Right? Chanting, I'm chanting and putting the washing in. Right? And then putting the coins in the machine. And putting the washing powder in. And choosing the cycle. So this is not attentive chanting, right? It is not attentive. It's not. You get minimal benefits. Something is there. You know, it's better you're doing that than nothing. But it's not. You're not going to advance quickly. Don't fool yourself. Don't think these clickety click, you know, while you're chanting, while you're driving the car around, will take you back to Godhead. Right? Your clickety click rounds on your bike or on your in your car, it will take you to work. Right? But it won't take you back to Godhead. Just get it clear in your mind. Don't fool yourself. Don't think this is japa. Right? So it's something else, but it's not japa. Right? So if you want to chant japa, then you have to get control of the mind. Control of the mind means when you're chanting japa, that's what you are doing. Right? As I've mentioned before, you see devotees out there reading the rasta while they're chanting japa. Right? Out there in front of the temple, where we have the rastas on the pillars. You know, you see devotees all the time chanting their japa. Right? Very riveting. You know, it's just a riveting topic, you know, the rasta. You know, just, you can read it so much. You know. Or you see them like looking at the notice board, right? Or the Vaishnava calendar. All these things. It's not attentive. You will not get the goal, right? Because it is inattentive chanting. It is not controlling the mind. Now, if you do control yourself externally and you get to the point where you actually can sit down in one place and just chant, right? Then that's another level of mind control begins. Now you have to bring the mind onto the mantra because the mind goes everywhere while chanting. You know, some mornings my mind just takes off. Mm. Just goes in all sorts of places in the universe. Places I've been, places I haven't been. Just everywhere. It just goes. So, the mind needs to be controlled. Just like sometimes, you know, we make this joke that, you know, imagine while all the devotees are in the temple room in the morning chanting japa and you put some suction cups on their heads and they're connected to a television up there behind Prabhupada on the big screen, and then you can see what was going on in front in everyone's minds while they're chanting their japa. Right, it's like a comedy channel. Right? My God, that's what you're thinking while you're chanting? What goes on in our mind? My God, so many things, right? This is not. So if you want to advance in japa, in your worship of the holy name, in your bhajan, you must learn to control the mind. Right? The second is called solshan. Solshan means internal and external cleanliness. This was mentioned in last week's class. One must be externally clean. You must take bath regularly. You must take bath when you rise in the morning. We rise early in the morning, we take bath. Right? And then we begin to chant our japa. Right? It purifies. Right? And then you must practice internal cleanliness. Right? Internal cleanliness means internal purity. Right? Especially this means freedom from sex desire. Because as soon as you begin to meditate on your attachment to the opposite sex, right, your internal purity becomes contaminated. Mm. Right? Because it means that your original pure position as being Krishna's servant has been right, contaminated. So this is sex desire. Attachment to... It can be any attachment, but principally in the material world it is attachment to sex desire. Right? So this destroys internal purity. Okay? So you will not become pure in japa until you can cleanse yourself. Right? And what is the art of cleansing? The art of cleansing is attentive chanting. Cheto, dapana, marjana, this is where it begins.
Even one thing also I noticed is even to the family member, until we finish our japa, it's better to be detached. Because like what happens if somebody comes and talks and you know, they start talking, sometimes in the family will come and talk and everything.
Yeah, we'll get to that one.
Yeah. And even, you know, though Krishna shows me this big quarrel or something, even with the big arguments or something, then I know one that Japa was not completely.
Grihastha lila. We've all been to the movies. Yeah. Point?
More of misery, that is.
Yeah, because the four of them meet eating illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, but illicit sex destroys cleanliness. Okay, so that's why it's specifically connected. Okay, so. Now, third one is called Mona. Mona means silence, right? Now, if you go to the Chaupati temple in Bombay, you will learn how to chant japa. Because no one talks during japa. None of these, you know, conversations going on in the temple. If you want to become serious in your japa, then you don't talk during japa. Right? When you're chanting. 2 hours, that's it. I know when I sit in the temple and no one talks to me while I'm chanting my japa. Because if they do, they get a very strange look. Right? It's a look of, do not bother me now. Right? Unless it is very, 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 very important. Right? We don't chant, we don't talk while we're chanting. Right? While we're chanting, we are chanting. Right? Because when you're chanting, you are directly serving and worshipping Radha and Krishna. So what is more important? Right? Tell me what is more important. Okay? So therefore, you do not interrupt your japa for anything. This is called Mona. Mona means silence. Right? So this is brought. This breeds gravity. Devotees become very grave while they're chanting. This is the mood for successful japa meditation. When we do the japa retreat in Bhashana with Bharuja Prabhu and Satchinandan Swami, when we go up to the hill of Bhashana or to Tirkadamba and we chant, hands up if anyone's been for that. You went for the japa meditation. So if we go there, Satchinandan Swami says in the morning, we go up to the top of the hill in Bhashana, or we go to Tirkadamba, Rupa Goswami's Bhajankatiya, and we have to chant 64 rounds, which means we're chanting all day. And Satchinandan Swami says, you are not allowed to speak as soon as we begin to walk up the hill. That's it, no more talking. So it means we can't talk to anyone for the rest of the day. So this is how you advance in your chanting. Right? You advance in your chanting by just, you go and chant 64 rounds without talking. The only break we have is to go and hear Bharudan Prabhu Satchinandan Swami speak something to give us some inspiration. Then we go back and we keep chanting. No one's allowed to talk in between. Very powerful. So you have to learn to do this. 2 hours a day, no talking. Bhajankutiya and Samadhi. But Rupa Goswami went many places. So people do bhajan in more than one place. So yeah. You get the point? Yeah, as long as there's something Krishna conscious. Now the fourth item is contemplation of the meaning of the mantra. Right? So this means that we are contemplating the meaning of the mantra. Right? So Prabhupada says we must just hear the mantra. But as our advancement increases, then we will begin to contemplate the meaning of the mantra. Now Prabhupada gave the very basic definition of the meaning of the mantra. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Prabhupada also said that when we chant, we should chant like a child crying for its mother. So this is basic. So we can contemplate these things while we're chanting. This will assist us in our mood in chanting. And then as we become more advanced, then we can contemplate more. Because in the Bhajana Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that each pair of Yugala mantras, right, there are eight pairs of mantras. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Now each of those is connected to the Ashtakaliya Lila. Right? The eightfold daily pastimes of Krishna are represented by each pair of mantras. So there's a lot there to contemplate while you're going through the chanting. But this is when you become more advanced. Then you can begin to contemplate more advanced concepts like that. But in the beginning, you must learn to control your mind and hear. And at least we can have some basic contemplation of the subject. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Now, my spiritual master said to me that when I was a young devotee, only been a devotee a couple of years, he said that sometimes while you chant, you can meditate upon the pastimes of Krishna that you have heard in the like in the Krishna book, like that. Or you can remember certain holy places in Vrindavan, in the holy Dham. So while we chant, we can do those things. We can remember Mayapur or Puri or Vrindavan, certain holy places. We can remember different pastimes that Krishna has performed, and we can meditate on those things while chanting. This is contemplating the meaning of the mantra. But these things come as you progress in your chanting. In the beginning, you must learn to be attentive. You must learn to hear. And then you can progress to higher things as things naturally progress. Now, the fifth principle is patience. Patience means you must be patient because the result will not come quickly. Do not become disheartened. Do not think I'm not tasting anything. Right? Think that I have to apply myself more seriously to the process. It is reciprocal. Krishna says, "Ye yata mam prapajyante, tam tataiva bhajamyaham." As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So the more serious you become, then the more Krishna reciprocates. Sometimes Krishna withdraws the taste because he's trying to test us. Are you really serious? How many times have we said to Krishna, "I am serious. I'm going to fully surrender from now on." And Krishna says, "Really? Then I will test you. Are you really serious?" And then Krishna will test us, and then we'll see. He may withdraw the taste for some period. Why does he withdraw the taste? Because he wants to see, are you serious to go further? Krishna will give the taste, but he wants to see, are you serious to apply yourself? So you have to be patient, right? Because it doesn't come automatically or immediately. It takes a great deal of practice and surrender and inner purification. Are you willing to go through all of that? If you want to become Krishna conscious, it doesn't happen overnight. And you see so many, how many devotees, hands up if you've been a devotee for more than 20 years. Right? A couple of devotees. A few devotees, right? There's not so many older devotees around. Devotees become disheartened. They lose their enthusiasm. Why is that? Because you have to be patient. Right? You have to continuously challenge yourself. You have to go deeper. You have to go further. You have to purify your heart more. Krishna says, "Are you really serious?" You say to Krishna, "Yes, I'm serious." And he says, "No, I mean really serious." You say, "Yes, I'm really serious." He says, "No, I mean really serious. Are you really serious?" You say, "Yeah, I'm really serious." He says, "No, I mean really serious." Right. It goes further and further and further. You say? All of us are there. None of us have got there yet. But the point is that it requires great patience and enthusiasm. Guru Goswami says this, Utsaham Nishchaya Darya. He says you must be patient. Right? And the final quality is perseverance. Right? You must persevere. Right? Go again and again and again. I'll just see if there's any other. Yeah. Patience, the fifth quality, this refers to Satchinanda Swami explains, absence of hurry. So it means while you're chanting, patience means while you're chanting, you cannot be in a rush to finish your rounds if you want to be effective. Right? If you want to actually make progress, and if you want to really progress in your chanting, then you cannot rush the chanting. It doesn't work. Right? Chanting cannot be done in the mode of passion or ignorance. Mode of passion means, right, I've got to finish it quickly. Right? Mode of ignorance means, I'm still finishing it. I've been chanting for 4 hours now. Keep falling asleep, keep falling asleep. Just like sometimes you chant late at night. Just like my mother came to visit me at the farm on Saturday night, so it means I couldn't finish my rounds, I didn't finish chanting until 11 o'clock. And I was fighting so hard not to fall asleep. And the quality goes down. So this kind of chanting, if you're doing this kind of chanting regularly, it's very hard to progress. So if you really want to chant effectively, then do not rush it. Give it time. Give it quality time. Spend time with the holy name. Right? Satchinanda Swami said to us a few years ago in one of our japa retreats, he said, just like if the husband and wife are not getting along so well, does it happen sometimes?
Sure.
Maybe not because you just got married. But those who have been married for some time, right? Sometimes husband and wife don't. So then, sometimes they have to plan a trip away together. Just to spend some quality time. Just be alone together, right? And to re-enthuse the relationship. Mm-hmm. Of course, that doesn't also work all the time either. Sometimes you've got to come back early from the holiday.
Yeah. Krishna
Hare Baba, everyone knows. But the point is that, but hypothetically, right? Then you are meant to go and you're meant to spend some time, right? And then you just spend some time together, and then it re-enhances the relationship. So Satchinanda Swami said to us that sometimes your taste for chanting dwindles. You lose your taste, you're struggling. So sometimes you have to go away. You have to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Puri, or you have to go to Janmashtami, or you have to spend some special time. And you just go and you spend time with the holy name. No rush. Right? And just you and the holy name. Just you and Krishna. Right? You and Radha and Krishna, and just chant. Right? And then be patient. And then something will come. If you chant properly, something happens. It always happens. And then perseverance means that you have to persevere. It means it will take a long time. The path is not mastered easily. It means it does not come quickly, the result. Any questions or comments on what we've discussed?
There is always fighting between my parents.
Yeah.
Truly, because he's one of the Hare Krishna devotees, he learned from here, but the way he was chanting, what you are telling, which is, no, I think out of all those, there is no, all these six qualities there. Just sit wherever, and he will be looking and chanting, and my mother drawn back, and they find each other in a way that they jump on others and they're ready to. And someone has to go and meet it, which is not proper.
So the most important thing is how we chant. Just look after how we chant.
Oh my God.
Just look after ourselves.
That's what he's spoiling the family.
Could be.
How to avoid it?
I'm not sure. That's a separate topic.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other points?
Sometimes when we are trying to preach to new people, they think we want to chant anything but the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then it says, I want to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya rather than chanting Om. So how do we...
What is the question?
What can you say?
Then people, when we're preaching to people, some people, they want to chant so many other things as opposed to the Maha Mantra. Like so then, we have to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, become familiar with the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, become familiar with Prabhupada's purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and convince them that this is the Yuga Dharma. Kali Kali, Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. There's so many verses today. Okay, so we have to learn something from there and then preach to them according to the teachings of Mahaprabhu about chanting the Mahamantra. Because this was Mahaprabhu himself is Krishna himself. He is the Yuga avatar. He is spreading the congregational chanting of the holy names. Now he could have chanted any mantra, but he chose the Mahamantra. So somehow we have to communicate that to people. Yes, there are other mantras. Everything is within that mantra. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Prabhupada's books, you'll learn how to. And you'll hear other devotees present the philosophy. So then you have to learn it yourself and then somehow become an expert. Any other points? Well, much of what I've said is, I'm trying to give whatever realization I can. At the moment I've been listening for 6 months when I'm up to Nadanamna Sundarim, which is the fourth verse, which represents the stage of Ruchi. Like that. So after 6 months there's a lot of a lot of things. So I'll try to bring anything out which is there as we go. Okay. But a lot of what we've just discussed is not as beneficial. Okay. It'd be nice to do a seminar on that. But it would probably take a good month or something to do it justice. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe on a summer break.
You say that according to the opinion of Tabo,
if you listen to Mahanandi Swami's lectures from from 2005, that's where he begins. He begins in 2005, so you have to go back to 2005, and then he discusses in the first six lectures or something. He gives some understanding of that. It's a very deep talk. It's very intricate and very deep. It's something that you cannot discuss in a few minutes like that. So you'll have to study that in your own. You cannot advance past the level of your guru's advancement. So therefore, if your guru is a Majjhimadhikari, you cannot go beyond Majjhimadhikari. So if you get to a point where you are ready to surpass your guru's advancement, which for us, we don't have to worry about that too much, because we'll practically never pass our guru's advancement. But if it did happen, then you ask permission from your guru to go to an advanced Vaishnava who is even further advanced in the path of bhakti. And by his blessings, then you take its shelter of someone else who can take you to higher things. But we practically, we don't have to worry. Yeah, that's the point. I mean, like, I know I'm not higher than my guru. So if you were coming to that point where you're surpassing your guru, you would know. You'd be extremely advanced. One of the two. Yeah. You don't have to worry about too much. There are some pastimes there in the followers of Mahaprabhu where they became more advanced than guru, or the guru may have had a different rasa. Like one guru was in Sakya Rasa, one was in Madhurya Rasa, so then they had to ask for permission, beg permission, that they could please go and take instruction from the other guru. So these things are mentioned.
Okay.
Different rasa. Yeah, that's one thing. Okay. I don't know how far we'll go tonight, because we're supposed to get to verse 62. And There's so many points in this section, so we'll see how we go. Because Prabhupada has a lot of points in this section. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is the 12-syllable mantra for worshipping Lord Krishna. One should install the physical forms of the Lord, and with the chanting of the mantra, one should offer flowers and fruits and other varieties of foodstuffs exactly according to the rules and regulations prescribed by authorities. But this should be done in consideration of place, time, and attendant conveniences and inconveniences. So, one must receive training and initiation in order to chant the mantra properly and to worship the deity appropriately. As we discussed previously, this is called the Bhagavat Vidhi Marg and the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg. Right? These two marks. Bhagavat Vidhi Marg means the path of hearing and chanting. Right? Glorification of the holy name of Krishna and of hearing about Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg is the path of worshipping deity, which Narada Muni actually will cover many of those instructions in this section tonight. Now, in order to enter both paths, you must become initiated by a qualified guru. Because it requires training and initiation and qualification to do these things properly. You can receive a mantra, but in order to learn how to chant that mantra properly, you need a guru. Right? You need instruction. We've all received the Maha Mantra, but unless we get training how to chant that mantra, we'll be limited in what we can do with that mantra. Right? So, at the time of initiation, the guru gives you particular mantras, just like when you take Diksha or second initiation, you receive the Gayatri mantras. Now those mantras are given because they're used to worship the deity of the Lord. They're necessary. Therefore, if you're not second initiated, you cannot worship the deity. Because, in order to worship the deity, you need these mantras, these Gayatri mantras. So therefore they are given by the guru, and then you are trained by the guru how to worship the deity. It requires training. That is our process. Our process is one of training. That's why we have these Bhakti Vaibhav classes. Right? Because devotees require training. Right? Because so many devotees join the movement, but they require training in order to evolve. Right? Your advancement in spiritual life is dependent upon the association that you get. Right? So when you get advanced association, then you advance in Krishna consciousness. We need training. That is our system. Right? So Prabhupada created ISKCON. Why? Because Prabhupada said we are creating a society of brahmanas. Why? Because the world needs training in spiritual principles. That is one of the seven aims of ISKCON, purposes of ISKCON that Prabhupada gave initially. To systematically train people. Prabhupada mentions this. Right, so this is the purpose of ISKCON. One of the principal purposes is to train people, right, so they will become purified. They receive the mantra, the deities are installed, but you require training to become purified. Now, if you worship the deity properly, according to your instructions given by your guru, if you chant the Maha Mantra properly, according to what the instructions you've received from your guru, then you get the result. Then you progress towards Krishna praying or love for Krishna. But if you do not get training, you may worship the deity, you may chant the Maha Mantra, but you will not progress rapidly. Those who apply themselves properly to this process, they progress rapidly in devotional service. Just like Radhanath Swami, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, he was the pujari of what were the names of the deities in New Vrindavan that he worshipped? Vrindavan Chandra in the Brahmachari portion of like that. So he did not leave the worship of those deities at one point for 2 years straight. Every day for 2 years he worshipped those deities and chanted the Maha Mantra. And when one does this properly according to the training, one advances rapidly in devotional service. This is the process. Every day reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day chanting the Maha Mantra, as he said, patiently, giving time to our chanting, and worshipping the deities according to how we've been taught by our guru, the process is extremely powerful. Prabhupada says in this section of the Bhagavad Gita, this process is very liberal and potent. Liberal means anyone can do it. Potent means it will purify anyone. Now, that is the potency. But it requires training. You must be initiated. You must have a spiritual master. Spiritual master is plural. Sri Gurun means you must have gurus. Otherwise, how will you learn? How will you know? Just like myself, I've been reading some deity worship instructions which are compiled by Mr. Kavacha Prabhu. And now my appreciation for worshipping the deity is so much greater. Right? I'm learning intricate points. Right? Because you can worship the deity with different items, but there's subtleties within those items. Particular things that Krishna likes, particular things which are appropriate, inappropriate. By understanding these things, your appreciation for the process increases, and by applying those things that you learn, then you advance, because Krishna becomes pleased when he sees us putting effort into these subtle things in our devotional service. Now, Prabhupada explains that people, he says in the purport, that he has been criticized. Srila Prabhupada was criticized because he went to the West and he turned so many malechas and yavanas and what's the other word that he uses? Chandalas into Vaishnavas. So many criticized Prabhupada. Right? You cannot teach these things to these people. They are not qualified to learn these things. Right? You cannot teach it to these people. And then Prabhupada would adjust things accordingly. Many things Prabhupada adjusted. Now, one thing that Prabhupada did, he created the Brahmacharini Ashram. Right? There's no such thing as a Brahmacharini Ashram in Vedic culture. Right? There's no such word as Brahmacharini in the Vedas. Prabhupada created this. He created it. Right? Now, Prabhupada created it, and Prabhupada points out in the purport, this can only be done. He's speaking about himself, although he's, you know, he's not speaking, he's not naming himself, but practically saying, you have to be empowered by Mahaprabhu himself. You have to be Mahaprabhu's intimate associate himself to do these things. Now, Prabhupada's not saying I am, but it is quite obvious that he is. Because he was so potent that he was able to take those who were unqualified and make them qualified. That is the potency. Factually speaking, only Prabhupada could do it. And Prabhupada writes in this section, he says, people who do not even do any preaching or have no potency to preach, they just sit back and they criticize. People just sit back and they say, oh, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. Or Prabhupada says, fine, then you go and do it. They don't even do anything. They didn't make one devotee. Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying one time, when Prabhupada arrived back in India, and then he was going to, I can't remember if it was exactly the first time he came or it was somewhere in the beginning when he first came back to India in 1970, after he had been in America for 5 years and preaching, and he brought back his disciples. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying, I think he must have been back for some time, then he picked Prabhupada up or something, and he was telling Prabhupada in the car. He's saying, some of the God brothers are criticizing you, you know, because you're making these devotees into Vaisanga and this and that. Prabhupada said, then you say to them, how many devotees have you made? How many books have you distributed? And how many temples have you opened? Right? And then we'll see who is actually the disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because 60,000 disciples are there, but who changed the world? Right? Who changed the planet? Right? One person. Only one. Right, change the entire planet, right, on behalf of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And so Prabhupada writes in this section of Bhagavatam, he says, okay, they can criticize, but what did they do? Right? Because Prabhupada understood Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because he understood the Srimad Bhagavatam, then he did what he did. And he made adjustments, and he's purifying those who have fallen, and he's making them purified and elevated.
that is his potency, and no one else can do it, except for Prabhupada and his predecessors, and those who are empowered by him. Others can do it also, but they have to receive the empowerment. Right? And there's no question that Prabhupada received the empowerment because no one else did. So he mentions this in this section. Okay. We'll keep going. One should worship the Lord by offering pure water, pure flower garlands, fruits, flowers and vegetables, which are available in the forest, or by collecting newly grown grasses, small buds of flowers, or even the skins of trees. And if possible, by offering tulsi leaves, which are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Prabhupada describes in the purport, this is the preeminence of Srimati Tulsi Devi. This is described by Narada in the Narada Pancharatra. Right? And this is what Narada is describing here to Dhruva. Right? This is the Archana Padati of how to worship the deity. You cannot worship the deity unless you have tulsi leaves. Krishna does not accept the offering unless there are tulsi leaves on the offering. It can be the most opulent offering, but if there's no tulsi leaf, Krishna is not interested. It can be the most simple offering. It can be simply one glass of water. But if tulsi is there, Krishna says, Ashnami, I relish it. He is eager to taste that. So that is the preeminent position of Tulsi Devi. So who is Tulsi Devi? In Goloka Vrindavan, she is a gopi whose name is Vrinda Devi. Now the whole spiritual world is named after Vrinda Devi. Vrinda Vana. Van means the forest of Vrinda. Because her service in the spiritual world, Vrinda Devi, she is one of the intimate sakis or gopis, one of the friends of Srimati Radharani. Her service is to decorate the spiritual world for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So before Radha and Krishna arrive at a particular place, a Leela Stan, a place of their pastime, Vrinda Devi arrives there early with different mandiris and sakis, and they begin to decorate everything. And they choose which flowers will bloom from the vines. They say, today we'll have reddish. So then red flowers begin to manifest from the trees and from the vine. Today we'll have white and pink. So then they begin to manifest. So all of these things are done by Vrinda Devi. She decorates everything. She says, okay, parrots, you come here. Deer, you come here. Peacocks, you come here. She arranges everything. And when Radha and Krishna arrive in a particular grove, around that grove there are little huts. Flower cottages or kunjas, and in those kunjas she has all the ingredients ready for their worship. Right, all the fruits are picked, all the flowers are picked, everything is there ready for her. So that is her position. So one time Radha and Krishna were sitting on a throne together, and they were discussing how much wonderful service Vrinda Devi does for their pleasure. So Krishna said, Radharani said, we have to give her some benediction. You have to benedict her. So Krishna said, what do you want? What can I give you? We are so indebted to you. What is it that you desire? She said that wherever you go, any incarnation, any expansion, any deity form, she said, I want to be there to worship you. So then Krishna thought for a moment, and Krishna said, then wherever I manifest in a deity form, you will manifest as Tulasi Devi. And Narada will write in the Narada Pancharatra that wherever the deity of Krishna is worshipped, the Archavigraha, the Srimurti, then the deity will only accept the offering if Tulsi Devi is offered. So in that way we will always be together. So Tulsi Devi is Srimati Vrinda Devi, who is manifesting in this world in the form of Tulasi. To assist the devotees in the worship of Radha and Krishna.
So that is her preeminent position.
The Prabhupada explains things in the purport. You have to read all these purports for yourself, because there's a lot in them. We can't discuss them all in one session. So you read it yourself, and Prabhupada discusses many things. Yeah. But fresh is nice.
Navy blue flowers do not bloom too, only white and red will bloom. Navy blue flowers also will bloom from the tree.
In the spiritual world?
Yes, from Krishna's flower tree, navy blue flowers will also bloom.
If you say so.
It will bloom, definitely bloom. Okay. Why not?
Well, if you've been there, then you can
see.
I haven't been there recently.
Yes.
But I'll take your word for it. So, Prabhupada mentions in the second paragraph that in our worship of the deity, all the items must be pure. Pure means pavitra. Everything must be pure. The water must be pure. Prabhupada explains in the purport, the best is that you get water from the Ganga or the Jamuna. But that is not so possible in Australia. We have the Yarra and the Murray. Not quite the same. The Prabhupada says the water must be pure. Just like at the farm, we set up a system that we catch pure rainwater. We purify it at different ways to remove as much as we can, so the water is very pure. If you come and you can taste it, it's very pure water. So we take that water and then we offer it to Krishna, and then when I worship Giriraj, before I do Abhishek of Giriraj, then I pour in 3 drops of Radha Kund. Right? And that water becomes transformed into Radha Kund, and then do the Abhishek. And then every day we take Charanamrit. So this is the process. That all the items that you offer to Krishna, they must be pure. Then Krishna is satisfied. Right? Before you offer the fruit, you have to wash the fruit. So many things. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, all these things are described in deity worship. So there's one devotee, I think it was Raghava Pandit, he would carry the coconuts on his head for a long distance. He would hear those very good quality coconuts at a distant place to offer to the deity. So he would go to that distant place and he would carry the coconuts on his head, and then sometimes he would pay someone to go and get them, and when that person came, if they walked into the house and the coconuts that were on their head, if the coconut touched the roof of the door, he would not offer that coconut to Krishna, because the dust from people's feet, he said, might have blown up and touched the roof of the door, and then that has gone to the coconut, so now he will not offer it to Krishna. Right? That is purity. Right? We may or may not do like that. But the point is that Krishna appreciates purity. As Prabhupada said, Krishna does not need an opulent offering, he needs a clean kitchen. Krishna doesn't need an opulent offering, but he needs a clean kitchen. There's no compromise. Right? So you have to learn all these things in order to please. You need training from your spiritual master. Okay. We'll do another verse. I don't know if we're going to get to 62. There's too much in this section. It is possible to worship a form of the Lord made of physical elements, such as earth, water, pulp, wood and metal. In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self should be very sober and peaceful and must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. And so Prabhupada points out in the purport that Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana Goswami, there are 26 qualities of a devotee. One of the qualities is mitta bhuk. Mitta bhuk means
little.
He only eats as much as necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is called mitta bhuk. Prabhupada said the devotee is regulated in their eating. Devotee does not eat too much, nor too little. And Prabhupada points out in the purport that the devotee must eat simple prasad. Lord Chaitanya says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to Raghunath Das Goswami, you cannot think of Krishna
if you're always thinking how to satisfy your tongue, your belly, and your genitals. If you're always thinking like that, you cannot think of Krishna. It is not possible.
Sure.
Therefore, you must learn to control your tongue. So you must eat simple prasad. Satisfying. Prabhupada said, eat sumptuously, but not too much. So it means you must satisfy yourself, but don't eat too opulently. Otherwise your mind will become disturbed.
What is that word you said?
Sumptuous.
Mitabuk.
If you look up in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Sanat Goswami's teachings, there are 26 qualities of a devotee. Which Lord Chaitanya says, one of them is mitabuk. So, a devotee must learn to eat simple. Prabhupada said, once a week you can have a feast.
That's true.
That's why we have the Sunday feast. These days, we have the Sunday feast at least once a day. Usually more than once a day. You know, breakfast we had so much opulent prasad, and then lunch we had so much opulent prasad, and then dinner and there's so much opulent prasad, and then you get home and there's some sweets or some pizza left over from the party last night, and then it's like, you know. Devotees should eat simply on a day-to-day basis. Just like at the farm, we eat quite simple. Very tasty, very nice, but simple. Not rich and heavy, but just like nice prasad, but simple. Like that. And then you eat like that, and then once a week, then you can have a feast. Right? You must regulate your senses. And you must control your senses. Do not overeat. So this is called mitabuk. Prabhupada said, eat sumptuously, but not too much. So I think we'll stop here for tonight because we've run out of time. What did we get up to? 56. Okay, that's not too bad. Because we went right into the... It's very difficult to rush through these things. The fifth quality of japa is that you must chant patiently. So same with Bhagavatam, we cannot rush it because there's too many... When I was studying today at the farm and I was going through this section, and I thought there's so much in this section, it would take a long time to go through. So tomorrow night we'll continue and we might go a little bit further. Should I throw a party key?
Yeah.